may be aware, there is a municipal election in the city of Quincy this year. All the ward council and at-large council seats are up for re-election, and 3 seats on the Quincy School Committee as well. And we've invited the candidates to stop on by here at AM Quincy and tell us a little bit about themselves and about their campaign. And first one to do so is the incumbent for Ward 5, City Councilor Dan Minton, is joining us to talk about his experience over the past 2 years on the council and why he wants another 2 years in office. Welcome, Dan. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Appreciate the opportunity to catch up with you. It's been a little while. I think last time you and I chatted was when you were first running for this office.
That's correct. We did many shows together, though, as a policeman.
Certainly did. Yeah, absolutely. So it was your first term. You ran unopposed, as I recall, right?
Right.
Yeah. How has it been? How's the experience been?
It's been great. When I retired from the Quincy PD in 2020, I started doing details and I was getting really bored and I missed being interactive with the community. And so I looked around and I talked to Chuck Phelan. He said he wasn't going to run and he said he would support me. And I jumped at the opportunity to run for Ward 5.
Yep. And here it is 2 years later already. What's been some of your most interesting experiences serving on the council?
Probably so many people that I've helped in different matters, small matters, stop signs, trees hanging over the fence, curbs. But some of the bigger events are buildings going into neighborhoods and having meetings for those so people have the information and have the opportunity to speak out.
Yeah. What has been some of the most challenging experiences on the council so far?
Probably one of the most challenging was when I first came on board and Ashler Park doesn't have enough parking up there.
The old hospital?
The old hospital.
Yep.
And so a lot of people in the neighborhood were complaining that people visiting at Ashler Park were parking on their streets, parking in front of their driveways. And so we tried to resolve it as best we could. We got Ashler Park to reduce some of the rates for parking in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
That took some of the cars off the street.
Okay. All right. So was there like a learning curve, Dan, that you had to go through when you first got elected to just figure out procedures and rules and things like that?
Joe, it's still happening.
Still happening?
Yeah. It's a lot to learn.
Is there city council school? I mean, you know, how does that work when you're first elected to office?
You go to the veteran counselors with seeking advice.
Yeah.
But there's really no school.
It's learned by doing.
It is.
Yeah.
It still is.
Absolutely. So did you kind of accomplish some of the main goals you'd hoped to accomplish the past 2 years?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, like I say, mostly helping people.
Yeah.
And then some of the bigger issues, you know, were important too. But, you know, it's some of the 2 big issues that I'm dealing with right now, you know, we'll probably talk about today.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. For folks who might not be aware, we should tell them the geographical area of Ward 5, right? It's kind of convoluted.
It is huge.
Yeah.
So you can picture going from like the Fennel House down through the square, Hospital Hill, down to like Lincoln Hancock, BJ's Gas, Sweeney's Funeral Home, over to the Credit Union.
Yeah.
So it's a big area.
Yeah. It's kind of cut in half by the T, mostly, right?
It is.
Tracks run right down the middle of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how do you kind of connect with your constituents? You know, how does that process happen?
Well, when there's an event, we do mass mailings. And whenever anybody calls and wants to talk about any issue, since I'm retired, I have plenty of time. And I'll say, I'll be right over. And they say, no, you don't have to come over. And I just say, you know, I'm going to come over and meet you.
Okay.
And I jump on my bike and
as you were famed for when you were in the police department.
That's the best job ever. And, just go and talk to the person face-to-face and get a better picture of what the problem is. And, you know, it works out well for me. And then if somebody wants to have a group to meet, you know, we'll reserve a room at City Hall or it's a small group like Quinn Cycles one time met. And they were going to have a few people, so when I met at Panera. So wherever the people are, we'll meet.
Yeah, it's the ward counselor, that's their meat and potatoes, right, is
exactly.
Constituent issues. It's like you said, it's parking issues, it's trees, it's potholes, it's sidewalks, things of that nature, yeah. So why do you want to serve another 2 years?
I'm just getting my feet on the ground, really, and I really enjoy it. I really help resolving issues. Also, my police career, as especially in my last 15 years as crime prevention officer, I was able to help so many issues for people. These are different issues, but it's very rewarding to continue doing that, to serve your community.
What are some of the main issues in Ward 5 now, Dan?
Well, one, it's not really an issue yet, is Eastern Nazarene College.
Yes, yep.
So the building, the whole complex was sold, including the fields, the parking lot. And so I reached out to Graham Crane, who purchased the property, mm-hmm. and had a lengthy phone conversation with him. And he was a 2006 graduate of ENC, and he said that he knows what the community is, and he wants to resolve it. And I'm going to go to my notes to for the conversation that I had
with him. Yeah, I think it's interesting, yeah. So he has a development company, I think, out in the Midwest.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, yeah, okay.
So as I said, he was an ENC graduate in 2006 who played third base and was thrilled to buy the property. He has an attachment to it. The property is undergoing flood assessment and is in the early process. He said that he wants to be a good neighbor just as ENC was. Some of the buildings have asbestos and may be torn down, and he named the Monroe building is in such disrepair that it may be torn down.
I didn't know there was a Monroe building on campus. The only one I know was downtown.
It's M-U-N-R-O.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
A little bit different.
Very good.
He stated that the church is definitely staying, as well as the green area between the church and the administration building. That's a beautiful spot.
Yep.
He's heard that there's interest in senior living buildings, but he will need to assess the demand. He also heard that there was an interest in townhomes, but he is concerned about flooding on the athletic field and having to put homes on stilts. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, he talked about an old street where the athletic field is that existed before ENC.
Hmm. Before ENC? Because ENC is over 100 years old, so it's going back a while. Okay.
So I'm guessing he's going to use that as a possibility to go back and say there was a street there.
As a street, yeah.
I asked Mr. Crane if he had any intention of reselling the property, and he strongly said no, but would consider other partners to build.
Okay.
Mr. Crane said that his heart is still in Boston, but moved to Kansas after getting married. He hopes to attend a Red Sox game this summer and join me in a cup of coffee to update his plans. I asked him if he'd be interested in attending a community meeting about ENC when in town, and he said he'd be happy to. Hmm. The bottom line to me was Mr. Crane is committed to making his plan for the property fit in with the ENC community mm-hmm. and not upset the neighborhood.
Okay. All right. So it's a big piece of property. How many acres are we talking, Dan?
I really don't know.
It's over 20, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a big piece of property.
And it's funny because I've had a couple of residents approach me and say, I'm interested in moving into ENC when they have
moderate
income or senior income, senior housing.
Yeah.
And so there is interest.
Yeah. Well, there was a plan unveiled not too long ago detailing a kind of a subdivision, right, a development there.
Yeah, that was, according to planning, that was just to let the planning board know that they were talking about building. But Mr. Crane was saying that was not going to happen the way it was described.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, it was not formally proposed. It was just kind of a presentation.
Exactly.
I know the mayor has talked about possibly doing 55 and over housing as part of that. Is that something that he'd be interested in, do you think?
Yeah, he said that he has to look and see the numbers and how many senior homes we have to see what the demand is.
I kind
of told him the demand is going to be high.
Yes. Yeah, if you're already getting inquiries, then for sure. Yeah, interesting. Okay. Now, is ENC, they're totally gone now? What's going on there now? Yeah.
Yeah, they closed down totally after the migrant situation.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, I talked to so many neighbors over there.
Mm-hmm.
ENC and whoever was working with them managed that so well.
Hmm.
Other than a few cabs speeding through the neighborhood, in which we had the officers go out there and slow them down.
Right.
It was great. You know, there was very few complaints.
Yeah, the state actually contracted with Bay State Community Services, I think, to run that welcome center,
Yeah, it went very well.
So is there like a skeleton staff there just to maintain the buildings, or what's going on?
There's a ground crew.
Oh, okay.
And they're keeping it up very well. I walked through it yesterday.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any security or anything like that, but they keep it up.
Good, good. Okay, so that's one issue that certainly will be facing the next ward councilor in Ward 5. It's,
yep.
I mean, a 20-acre parcel in that section of the city, you know, it's probably the biggest open space in that part of Quincy.
Well, as I say, Joe, the most important link is that he grew up through college at ENC, has a tie to it, has a lot of friends in the neighborhood, has a link to the ENC church.
Yep.
So he wants to do the right thing.
Okay.
And I firmly believe him.
Did he give you any sense for a timeline for when he'd like to get started?
No, he said just the early stage of the flooding issue.
It's a big one right now. Yeah.
That'll determine what he can and can't do.
Sure, sure. Okay. All right. What else?
Sailor's Home Pond.
Yes, it's being restored.
Being restored.
Yeah.
Thanks to Commissioner Murphy, the environmental scientist, have the list, and I have to give credit to Councilor Phelan for his work prior to me. It's a great place to spend time fishing. I grew up probably four blocks away from there. There was all sorts of goldfish in there, the turtles. There was the white albino fish that everybody tried to catch.
Oh, really?
And if you caught it, you had to throw it back in.
Oh, is that right? For the next person?
But you get to brag about it.
Take a picture and throw it back in? Okay.
So they set up some traps about 2 weeks ago to catch turtles, to put them in a safe place, a safe home until the pond is restored.
Yep.
They caught about 27, the last I heard. And now they put up a chain link fence to keep people out, and they're going to start doing some dredging.
I see.
So it looks like a 3 to 4 month process. Beecher Knoll School is going to benefit out of it because Heather List said she'd go over and talk to the classes about what they're doing.
Oh, okay.
And bring the students over.
Super.
We had a meeting probably 2 weeks ago, and we had it outside at the pond, so the residents could get a better picture of what's going on. They're going to weed out some of the trees that are hanging out over the pond.
Yep.
Clean it up, dredge it. It was like 4 to 6 feet deep. And as kids, we used to think it was like
bottomless.
Endless. Yeah. It's like, you know, and we always knew about the muck.
Sure.
But they're going to double the depth and put some plants around where the drains come in to try to suck up some of the chemicals that go into the pond.
Yep. Yeah, very similar to what they did at Butler's Pond, right?
Exactly. The big difference, I think, is going to be Butler Pond doesn't have a fence.
I see.
And I'm hoping to get some of the fencing that goes around Marymount Park, the wrought iron look, to make it look really nice.
Okay. All right. I think the high school of Oak students built that, actually.
Did they?
Yeah.
And then the other thing I want to do on the main entrance, hopefully, is to level it off a little bit, put a deck there.
Mm-hmm.
So handicap accessible, and just for people who don't want to walk one leg up, one leg down, going around the pond, they can get a good view of what's going on in the pond, see the egrets and the turtles basking.
Okay, so that'll be done this year then, at the end of this year?
Yep.
Okay, very good. A couple of other issues, I guess a little bit more controversial.
Okay.
Number one, the pay raises, both for the mayor and the city council. And I know you have strong feelings about that, Dan.
So let me start with the mayor.
Sure.
I talked to the mayor about a couple of issues, and one of the issues he asked me was, what do you think is a reasonable pay raise for the next year? And I told him $230,000.
So the mayor asked you what he thought his salary should be.
He didn't call me in directly for that. We're just talking about different issues.
Okay.
He just said, you know, what are your thoughts?
Yeah.
And I said $230,000. I thought that was reasonable for how many years he's been mayor. The job he's done has been a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Longevity. And, you know, he was respectful, and he didn't make any comment. And he said, thanks for coming in. And that was basically the end of the, the end of the conversation. But at a city council meeting, excuse me, when we first talked about it, my recommendation was $230,000.
I remember.
And I kind of stood alone on that one.
Yes, you did.
But that was okay. I mean,
you dismissed the Dormanson Consulting report, saying it was kind of irrelevant because it was not based on local numbers, right?
It wasn't based on local numbers. It was more based on private entities.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was worthless.
Okay.
So I didn't support the mayor's raise, and it went through. So that's that.
Right. It's going to be actually $285,000. Yeah. He did defer until the next mayoral term.
Right.
So if he's not reelected, then the next mayor will earn that salary.
Right.
Okay. Did you feel conflicted when you voted against that?
No, honestly, Joe. Yeah. I say this to people all the time. I don't really look at myself as a politician.
Mm.
I don't have that way about me. I just kind of the police background. Just do your job. Do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that I was doing the right thing. And there's no bad or ill feelings between the mayor and I.
See.
He respects my view.
Okay. Now, the council also is getting raises starting at the next term as well. How did you feel about those?
So again, I made a statement early on saying that $38,000 was what I was encouraging. And at that time, the city council was looking at $48,500 for the raise, and I couldn't go along with that. And then they brought it down to $43,500.
Mm-hmm.
And my reasoning for 38 was that we were getting $30,000 at the time, and we had not had a raise, not including me, because I wasn't there, but
right.
For 9 years. I used a cost of living of 3%, so 3% times 9 is 27%. 27% of $30,000 is $8,000, so that's what I came out to. I thought was a fair number of
$38,000.
Okay. Again, $43,500 was the final outcome. So I didn't support that one either.
Okay. All right. Again, standing alone on that.
Right.
Big question is, will you accept that raise?
So I'm going to accept it. And the reason I'm going to accept it is because I'm not going to keep the $5,500. I'm going to donate it to causes that I believe in.
Really?
So $2,000 is going to go to Quincy Veterans Services. This is if I'm elected. $2,000 will go to Interfaith Social Services. I volunteer there. They do fantastic work.
Mm.
They really do. They help so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where my money's going to go.
Okay. Again, if you're reelected.
Yeah, it's not about the money, Joe. It's, it's just doing the right thing and doing the job. And that was just my personal view.
So will you make those donations as long as you're in office?
As soon as I get in office, I'll make them.
Okay. Okay. Now, you mentioned earlier that you thought the mayor did a great job, many years of commitment, so you recommend that it's $230,000. So you feel the city is well run?
I do. I think he's done a fantastic job. I mean, I think he's got great insight. No one agrees with everything anybody does, but overall, he's done a fantastic job. He really has.
Folks, as you well know, I'm sure, have talked to you about taxes. They're concerned, about the expenses that the city incurs and how it's becoming more difficult to, make a living and live in Quincy. So what's your kind of message to them?
Well, you get a lot for your taxes mm-hmm. in the city. My daughter just moved to Weymouth and she's paying for almost everything. Get rid of her mattress, just the city provides so many social services. You get the recreation department in the summer. Basically free babysitting for you. You get Council on Aging doing all sorts of programs out there. So you get a lot in the city.
So you think folks are getting value for the dollar?
I really do. I'm not going anywhere, and 3 out of my 4 kids live in Quincy, so there's a lot to do.
Sure.
It's the upcoming place.
Another area that you kind of stood alone, Dan, were the proposed statues for the new public safety complex.
Yeah, Joe, that was...
a big deep sigh with that one.
That was. First of all, I didn't know anything about it.
It sounded like no one did.
And so when I saw it, I think it was in the Ledger, and I saw it, and I went like, oh my God, what are we doing? And I reflected back right away to 1980, when I became a police officer,
mm-hmm.
and someone gave me the statue. It's not the same size.
Of St. Michael?
Not the 8-foot.
Right,
8-inch one. I looked at it and I'm going, what are we talking about? Why is this a saint that protects police?
So even in 1980, you were concerned about that?
And I went down to my cellar and I looked and I still had it. And
uh-huh.
I'm like, It looks like an angel sticking a spear into the eye, supposedly the devil, but it could be any type of person or race. And I said, this is not the image that we want. We've come a long way in police work, mainly because of training and the demand for police officers to be more compassionate. And I've seen this department change. I've seen it develop. And when I first came on, it was get to the call, finish the call, move on to the next call. In the last 20 years, that's gone. And it's like, if you have a person that's mentally ill, distraught, we spend the time with the person. And I really admire, Chief Kennedy for making sure this training, and Chief Keenan also. They were the chiefs that really got these officers trained to spend the time with the person. Let's see if we can get the person help so we don't have to come back or the person doesn't hurt themselves. And so this to me was an affront to having an 8-foot statue on a police department building. When someone's coming into the building, whether it be for a parking ticket or a violent crime, people don't want to come into a police station overall. And for people to come in there and see that, and they're like, do they want to report the crime? Do they want to get involved? Is that something that would scare them or deter them from getting help? Because the police departments, we don't just offer criminal help, but we also help psychologically. We get people, we refer people. And so when I saw that, I'm like, why can't we go a different route? Why can't we do Rockwell's The Runaway, and put that inside the building? And if you're not familiar with that, it's the compassionate trooper with the kid on the diner stool, and he's consoling him. And he said, that's what this police department's about. And we really shine in doing that type of behavior. And I also thought, put up some old photos of police officers, like the officer that used to do direct traffic down Washington Street. Those are good memories. Those are warm feelings. Show self-defense classes that we do, or pepper spray classes that we do. People see that, may inquire and provide safety for them. But it was just not the image that I wanted to see.
When you first learned about it, obviously it was not called out during the discussion about the money for the new public safety complex. So, how did you feel when you found out that was already part of the budget that you approved?
Yeah, I wasn't happy about that. I'm sure the mayor has his reasons, but and I'm not sure how the council would have stood on that. I think one councilor said that it's a good image for the officers to see when they're coming into the building and know they have support, but it's on the front of the building. Almost every police department I know, the officers enter from the rear where they park their private cars, so they're not going to see it. I just didn't think it was a warm, fuzzy feeling for a police department that's really worked hard to engage with the community. And you see all the time on the internet, Facebook, or comments, saying this officer spent this much time helping this person, whether it be fixing a chain on a kid's bike. Those things didn't happen when I first started for the first 10, 15, 20 years. But it's just the way the police work has evolved. And the city has really come a long way.
So, as you know, there's a proposal for the creation of a public art commission that came about after this statue issue. Is that something you think is a good idea going forward?
I think it's a great idea. Yeah. I can't confirm, but I heard that it was a 7-person commission, and 5 were going to be selected by the mayor's office. And so I'm not sure if that's the way to go. I think it needs to be more even, more public input.
Do you think an opportunity here with the statues to do something good from it, to have something positive come from it as opposed to this controversy?
Yeah, I think the committee is a positive sign.
It's a good step. Yeah.
I think it's a great step.
Okay.
To include people to. I mean, if we put that out there to the committee or to the public saying about the statue, you saw the reaction. And the reaction's gone all the way up to the ACLU.
Yes. Which is still pending. It has not come to fruition yet.
Right. But, you know, as far as I've heard, ACLU was soliciting people in Quincy to get their views to build a case. So yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how that goes.
Yes, yeah. That's still in committee. Another item that's in committee that you introduced, your organ donor ordinance.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting. I had a firsthand experience with a Quincy resident and also a Quincy employee who was a donor match. Mm. And we went down to New Jersey to donate stem cells to a 32-year-old man who was suffering from leukemia. Mm. And it was supposed to be one night stay. It ended up to be two nights and almost a third full day. Because of a bad reaction. And personally, I think that the guy was 210 pounds and the donor was probably 130. And I think they may have taken out too much blood.
Okay.
So the donor came back, and she was a school teacher, went back to work and was feeling dizzy and drowsy and worn out, and ended up going to the hospital, and they kept her for 3 days. And there's really no research. There's all sorts of research on people who received the donation, but there's not a lot of research on the donor. Mm. And they put them through all sorts of tests and ended up going to Tufts, where they had a hematology specialist. And he said, it's going to take like 3 or 4 months to come back to where you were. And so she missed 24 days of work.
Wow.
And that's a real deterrent to someone who wants to donate, you know, use of sick time, vacation time.
Yes.
Or could possibly fear being fired.
Yes.
So I did some research, and the state has a policy of where cities and towns can join in and be a part of an agreement that you get 30 days of sick time. And this includes prior to, because it's testing before. And she had to go to Rhode Island to get tested, so she missed a couple of days there. And you're continuously trying to match, and they're boosting you with all sorts of vitamins. And so she was already sick before she even donated. And I don't want anybody to misunderstand. This is just an isolated case.
Yes. Yeah.
So that was good, but it didn't include stem cells. And so I brought that forth to the city council. And still in committee, as you say, mm-hmm. But the mayor was supportive of it, mm-hmm. and that it was going to be for all city employees. So if they get a match as a donor, that they would feel comfortable, because most people, when they donate or do the sample, they do it for a specific person, and this donor did it for someone at Quincy High, probably 2 years ago, and she thought she was going to get called. She didn't never get called, and all of a sudden she gets called, and it's a guy from New Jersey, and so she jumped at the opportunity to do it. And so it's in committee, but I'm sure it's going to pass. And it's not going to be like, you know, 25 people getting to get called a year and go through this process. No, I don't even know of anybody else that's ever even been called and actually gone through the process. So it's a good thing.
You think this is the city's the first in the state to adopt this?
Yes, I did some research, and yeah. As far as I know, and I'm hoping that the word will get out, and I'll contact some of the donor programs, and you know, try to do an infomercial, you know, saying that, you know, we've done it, and, mm-hmm. and hopefully I'll get some support from the state.
Sure. So, what does campaigning look like, Dan, for the rest of the year? What are your plans?
Basically do what I did the last time and just hit every single house and stand on the corner with signs and get the word out. And I'm out, you know, I'm retired, so, you know, I see people everywhere, and I've gotten a lot of support already, so I feel good, and, you know, I've done a lot of good things, and my history as a Quincy police officer and crime prevention lieutenant carries, I think, some weight of respect. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, anything else you'd like to share with folks right now?
I can't stress enough. I'm really not a politician. I don't go along with the crowd. I just do my thing. I do what I think is right, and that's my police background. the city's been great to me and my family, and I want to be great back.
Reach out online, yes?
You sure? Yep.
You've got all your social media going, I'm sure?
I do.
Okay.
I do. Dan Minter for Ward 5.
All right.
Facebook. That's it.
Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure.
All right. Always a pleasure, Dan. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. We'll see you next time.